Will the members please show their attendance by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please take the roll?
Thirty-two present, eight absent.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, excused from the call today are Representatives Munson, Byrne, and Meekins.
The prayer today will be by Representative Mike Miller.
Father, for the opportunity to put in extra hours for the state of Alaska, we thank you. For the opportunity to put in extra hours for you, we thank you. Amen.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the prayer be spread on the journal.
If there's no objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Record, please show that Representative Miles is present also. Will the Chief Clerk please certify as to the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 54th day in House Journal Supplement number 23.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 54th day in the House Journal Supplement number 23 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and the journal supplement stand approved. Are there any guests to introduce today? Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The in Gallery A is a constituent of mine and Mr. McKinnon, Sandra Spencer.
Are there further guests for introduction? Messages from the Governor.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The following citations were approved by the Senate and they are returned. In memoriam, Grant H. Pearson by all members of the House and all members of the Senate. In memoriam, Harvey Summers by Representative Duncan and Miller and Senator Ray. The Senate has approved the following citations and they are transmitted for consideration. Congratulating the Ketchikan killer whales by Senator Ziegler, Representative Gardner, and Representative Freeman. Honoring Melvin J. Personette by all members of the Senate. Oh, excuse me. Honoring Richard L. Burton by all members of the Senate. Honoring Larry W. Talbert by all members of the Senate. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill No. 3, amended by Sumner. An act relating to the adoption of regulations increasing the cost of doing business with the state.
Commerce and Judiciary.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 51, Rules by the Rules Committee. An act relating to the confidential nature of certain reports required by the Department of Fish and Game.
Resources and Judiciary.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the House Resources Committee gives the following individual recommendations on the appointment of John Williams as a member of the Limited Entry Commission. Report was signed by Mr. Osterbach and recommend Miles, Halford, Chatterton, Eliason, Carney, Fuller, and Osterbach. Jaroff signed, do recommend with changes to LE Board. The following individual recommendations on the appointment of Chris Gall, Jr. as a member of the Board of Fisheries. Signed by Osterbach Chairman, do recommend Halford, Chatterton, Eliason, Carney, Fuller, Jaroff, and Osterbach. On the appointment of Emil Norton as member of the Alaska King Crab Marketing and Quality Control Board. Signing the report, Osterbach. Signing, do recommend Miles, Halford, Chatterton, Eliason, Carney, Fuller, Jaroff, and Osterbach. On the appointment of Herman Schrader as member of the Board of Fisheries, signed by Osterbach Chairman. Signing, do recommend Halford, Chatterton, Eliason, Carney, Fuller, Jaroff, Miles, and Osterbach. On the appointment of Gordon Jensen as member of the Board of Fisheries, signed by Osterbach Chairman, signing do recommend Halford, Chatterton, Eliason, Carney, Fuller, Jaroff, Miles, and Osterbach. on the appointment of Randolph O. Davis as member of the Alaska King Crab Marketing and Quality Control Board, signed by Osterbach Chairman, signing do recommend Eliason and Carney, signing no recommendation Miles, Halford, Chatterton, Fuller, and Osterbach. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 185, authorizing state aid to municipalities for the construction and development of cultural facilities, under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back with the following recommendation. Reports it back, do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, citing do pass Miles, Chatterton, Munson, Buchholz, and Barnes. House Bill 185 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Resources has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 30 relating to the Commercial Fishing and Agricultural Bank under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, co-chairman, signing do pass. Halford. Excuse me, I can't read this. Oh, excuse me. Cotton, Chatterton, Eliason, Carney, Fuller, Jaroff, and Osterbach. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 30 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 235, a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for surfacing roads, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Fuller, Parker, and Gardner. Signing no recommendation, Metcalf and Martin. House Bill 235 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 312, a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for road construction and improvement at Alakanuk, Eminuk, and Hooper Bay, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Fuller, Parker, and Gardner. Signing no recommendation, Eliason, Metcalf, and Martin. House Bill 312 is a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 370 by Buchholz, McKinnon, and O'Connell, an act regulating layaway sales.
Commerce and Judiciary.
House Bill 371 by Carney, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to construct a...
Representative Buchholz.
May I have a correction on the sponsorship on that Bill 370. I sent it out to the clerk's desk a while ago.
On House Bill 370, it's by Buchholz, McKinnon, and Munson. House Bill 371 by Carney, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to construct a road from Goose Bay to Point McKenzie and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 372 by the Special Agricultural Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the University of Alaska Agricultural Experiment Station and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 373 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to withdrawal from the Federal Social Security System and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Chief Clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill number 237 by Fuller, Carney, Hurlburt, Malone, and Jaroff, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for the Iditarod Trail Race and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 237 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, co-chairman, concurred in by Miles, Osterbach, co-chairman, Chatterton, Cotton, Fuller, Jaroff, and Carney. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 237 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Montgomery, Haugen, Guy, Moss, Roger, Smith, McKinnon, and Duncan. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Randolph. House, please stand at ease. We have an amendment on the desk for House Bill 237. Would the Chief Clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Randolph. Page 1, line 10. Delete $20,000, insert $15,000.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Amendment number 1 has been moved and objection is noted. Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Obviously, the Iditarod Dog Race is a great Alaskan event, and a lot of fine people participate in it, and it's grown and became a significant statewide event, and I certainly commend those who participate in it. However, it really doesn't qualify as an essential state service. I would, therefore, and another point I want to make is that there are two basic types of income in the state of Alaska, which I think is this is a good place to bring out the point as any. One, we have the extractive resource income that we all know about, which is somewhere between 65 and 70%, 75% of our total income, and the rest of the income comes from personal taxes. Personal taxes from people, as I mentioned yesterday, who are standing in unemployment lines, whose businesses are going broke, who are having a very tough time of it. I don't have any serious problem with using some of the extractive resource income, which belongs to all of the people and should be going to them directly, but unfortunately it's not. But I have, since it does go in the state treasury, it seems to me appropriate to go back to the folks in whatever way they deem appropriate, and we as their representatives ought to be able to make, I suppose, those decisions. But I do have some serious problem with taking hard-earned personal taxes and using it in the manner proposed in House Bill 237. Therefore, a rough breakout of 75-25 is something that I could support.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, to my understanding, we gave him $25,000 last year and $20,000 this year. It does kind of cut that Mr. Randolph's talking about.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Randolph, for the chance to get a little more OJT here. I would like to say in defense of the $25,000, I think that the state is getting a lot more bang for their buck than the very lovely ads that were in the Vogue magazine. I think that most people are aware that the wide world of sports is covering and will this event, and we'll have 1 hour program. BBC is covering it. I think that that the good publicity that it brings to this state is well worth the $25,000. I hope someday that it will be self-sustaining, and in a very austere year, I put the budgets on your desk so that you could take a look and see that there's not a lot of frivolous money spent here. Also, I would like to say something about the people in the villages that support this race. Many people stay up 24 hours at a time. They take people into their homes, they feed them, they don't get a thing, and I think that should appeal to your free enterprise attitude, Mr. Randolph. Thank you.
Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to ask Mr. Fuller, did you just amend that from $20,000 to $25,000?
No, but if I knew what to do, I'd propose another amendment right now to $30,000.
The question before the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 1. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye. All those opposed signify by saying nay.
No.
Amendment number 1 has been defeated. Are there further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 237 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, House Bill 237 is engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage. Will the Chief Clerk please read House Bill 237 in third reading and final passage?
House Bill number 237 by Fuller, Carney, Hurlburt, Malone, and Jaroff. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for the Iditarod Trail Race and providing for an effective date.
Is there any debate? There's no debate. The question before the House is the final passage of House Bill number 237. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the roll.
Thirty-five yeas, two nays, three excused.
House Bill number 237 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill number 237 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
If there's no objection, the roll call on final passage will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause in House Bill number 237. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill number 261 by Gardner. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Law for a training program on the revised criminal code and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 261 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Martin, Anderson, Malone, and Parr. Barnes signed, do pass if amended. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 261 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Montgomery, Haugen, Guy, Moss, Rogers, Smith, McKinnon, and Duncan. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 261 be considered in gross advance of third reading and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill 261 will be engrossed, advanced third reading, placed in final passage. Will the Chief Clerk please read bill in third reading?
House Bill number 261 by Gardner. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Law for a training program on the revised criminal code and providing for an effective date.
Is there any debate? Question before the House is a final passage of House Bill number 261. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the roll.
Thirty-three yeas, four nays, three excused.
House Bill 261 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill number 261 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause in House Bill 261. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill number 262 by Gardner. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Law for a training program on the revised criminal code and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 262 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Martin, Anderson, Barnes, Malone, and Parr. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 262 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Montgomery, Haugen, Guy, Moss, Rogers, Smith, McKinnon, and Duncan. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
May we be at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Will the House please come back to order? Will the Chief Clerk please read the amendment on the desk?
Amendment number 1 by the Judiciary Committee. Page 1, line 10. Delete $85,635 and insert $126,235.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Amendment number 1 has been moved and objection is noted. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the purpose of this bill is to train primarily, and that's what the committee's letter of intent said, primarily peace officers in the new criminal code. And for some reason, when the initial estimate was made up, they had left out all of the village and really small town police officers. And the Alaska Police Standards Council was brought this up, and the Department of Law did agree. And the committee then changed the proposed the amendment and to add this extra $40,000. Now, Mr. Speaker, it was the agreement of the committee, as the letter of intent reflects, that first priority should be given to training police officers and village magistrates. And then after that comes the priority of training the district attorneys and people of that sort. And this is this $40,000 that was added is probably one of the most important parts of the appropriation.
Representative Freeman. House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? The question before the House is the adoption of the Judiciary Committee amendment. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, under normal circumstances, a member of the Finance Committee, in this particular case, speaking for the chairman who is absent, I would object very strongly to an addition of this amount of money to a bill that had been considered by the Finance Committee. Investigation apparently shows that there was a breakdown in communications. There was information that should have been, Finance Committee should have considered it wasn't there and available at the time, and therefore I would have no objection based on the explanation to the amendment as proposed.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to speak in favor of that appropriation, and I would like to note for the record the reason why I voted against 261, because I believe that professional people, especially in this time of fiscal crisis in the state, should pay for their own training, and there is almost $13,000 in there for a trip to Sitka for their per diem and travel, and I felt that they should pay that themselves.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. I think the movement on the legislation slowed down a little bit. Maybe this is a good time to explain the purpose of the two bills which are related. The one just passed would pay for activities in the Criminal Code training program through the end of this fiscal year, and the one under consideration now, including the amendment, would pay for the proposed training program for or the activities take place in the next fiscal year. Basically, what the I think most of the members here, all the members here, are aware of the legislature in the last 4 years, and also the judicial branch of government, and the executive branch of government, invested a considerable amount of time, and so did members of the general public, in completely revising Alaska's Criminal Code Title 11. The purpose of that was to come up with a law, with a set of criminal law that was more understandable, more applicable to today's times, and hopefully could be more evenly applied to people. In order to reach those goals, I think that the work that was done so far is probably as good as or is better than the work on the criminal code of any state of the United States. However, to put this into effect, this major revision of law, even though there was participation by the court system, by the Department of Law, and by the peace officers in Alaska, if we're going to have even enforcement of the law when this law goes into effect, which is January 1, 1980, it's recommended that we have a training program so that the judges, the district attorneys, the public defenders, the private bar, and the peace officers in Alaska have a clear understanding of what the law is and how it's intended to work. Now, the money that we're appropriating does not pay for training for the private bar. The information and materials that will be developed by the state, including an instruction manual and a training manual in the new law, will be available to the private bar at cost, but it's anticipated that those people will conduct their own training sessions. The amendment in front of us is for the specific purpose of providing travel and per diem for peace officers from about, and I didn't count the number, but it's about 65 small villages in the state, including places like Kotlik, Amonik, Togiak, Fort Yukon, Teller, to bring those people into training centers in the state and give them at least a three-day training course in how the law is supposed to work, make sure they have access to the materials that will be necessary to know and to understand when this new law goes into effect. I think the appropriation for training of our and instruction of our at least the public members of our criminal justice system in Alaska is going to be money well spent. The total amount of appropriation we're anticipating here is relatively small, but it should help to eliminate problems such as those discussed by Chief Justice Rabinowitz in the uneven enforcement or perhaps uneven handing out of justice in Alaska. And I think that both the amendment before us now should be approved by the House and House Bill 262. As the chairman of the Judiciary Committee pointed out, the Judiciary Committee recommended in their letter of intent applying to House Bill 262 that the first priority for the training be given to the peace officers, the people that who daily are in the business of enforcing or will be in the business of enforcing this law. For the information of the House, Mr. Speaker, there is, I believe, a fiscal note in the package marked fiscal note for committee substitute for House Bill 262. Now, that fiscal note would actually apply to House Bill 262 if the amendment is adopted. And it was anticipated that a committee substitute would be prepared by one of the committees in the process. However, the explanation of 262 in short form at least appears in that fiscal note in House Supplement number 23, page 7, which should be in the members' packages. And I do have some additional information here and would be glad to try to answer any questions that people may have on how the program's supposed to operate. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
On amendment on the Judiciary Committee amendment. Question before the House is the adoption of the Judiciary Committee amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Amendment number one has been adopted to House Bill 262. Are there further amendments on the desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 262, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill 262 will be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed in final passage. Will the Chief Clerk please read the bill in third reading?
House Bill number 262, amended by Gardner, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Law for a training program on the revised criminal code and providing for an effective date.
Representative Parker. Is there any debate on the bill? Question before the House is the final passage of House Bill 262. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? The clerk may take the roll.
Thirty-six yeas, one nay, three excused.
House Bill 262, as amended by the House, has passed. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 262, amended by the House, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
If there is no objection, the roll call on final passage will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause. Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, Ms. Barnes pointed out one thing that was a concern to the committee, that professionals have some obligation to train themselves. And it was for that reason that the House Judiciary Committee adopted the intent that it did. I would like very briefly to read that portion of the intent, and then I'm going to ask the House to adopt the Judiciary Committee intent as a House intent. It is the intent of the House Judiciary Committee that under House Bill 262, First priority be given to the training of police officers and village magistrates. Second priority to the training of district attorneys and public defenders. Training of judges and members of the private bar has the lowest priority. Mr. Speaker, I move it that that be adopted as the intent of the House concerning House Bill 262.
If there's no objection, the Judiciary Committee intent for House Bill 262 will be adopted as the House intent and printed in the journal. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Citation commemorating the Iditarod Trail Race by Representative Carney.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask that all the members of the body join with me in sponsoring this citation, and I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to its passage.
There's two motions. If there's no objection, all members will be shown as sponsoring the resolution commemorating the Iditarod Trail Race. There's no objection, the citation commemorating the Iditarod Trail Race will be shown as passing this House unanimously. That completes the daily calendar. Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of House Bill 93.
Will the Chief Clerk please read the bill by title?
House Bill number 93 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Office of the Governor for Supervisory Bargaining Unit contract and providing for an effective date.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday there were several comments made on this bill and reasons pro and con against and for, and I won't elaborate those. However, as a prudent legislator, I did go up to clerk after the roll call and pick up a recording of the roll call vote on that, and between then and now I've taken time to visit with a few people who I felt maybe might be voting different than what they really would like to, and I found out that I don't think I changed anybody's mind. Although I did find out, I think, that there were several people voting other than they would like to. The common phraseology is I'm locked in, or you understand, or something like that. And I do understand. But I would like to, before we vote this last final time on this bill, refer you all to page 407 of the House Journal. It's February 28th. It's a Wednesday. And I'd like to reread the prayer of that day. It goes as follows. Almighty God, we pause for prayer on this day, as designated as by Christians as Ash Wednesday. As this is a time of self-examination and confession, we admit our failures and our faults. There have been times when we have fallen far short of the high ideals which ushered us into our elected office. And sometimes we have felt the pinch as we have traded votes for some bill which reflected narrow interest rather than the good of all Alaskans. Forgive us, gracious Heavenly Father, though the merits through the merits of Jesus Christ, fill us with your healing spirit so that we may forgive ourselves and each other. Then, out of the ashes of repentance, shall come new men and women to lead our people of this great land to new peaks of achievement. Let your divine peace be upon us. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, after the speech just made by the prior member and an amendment he made on another bill here earlier, a $5,000 amendment, I think he should get the Ethel Merman No Business Like Show Business Award for the day.
The question before the House is a final passage of House Bill 93. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? The clerk may take the roll.
Twenty-four yeas, 13 nays, 3 excused.
House Bill 93 has passed the House.
We have an effective date.
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, there is an effective date clause on House Bill number 93. And lacking 27 votes, Mr. Speaker, I move the effective date clause.
We'll take a roll call on the effective date clause. The question before the House is the adoption of the effective date clause on House Bill 93. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? The clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 6 Nays, 3 Excused.
The effective date clause on House Bill 93 has been adopted by the House. That completes the daily calendar. Brings us to unfinished business. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, on unfinished business, I'd like to waive referral of House Bill 301, an act relating to municipal service, to the Judiciary Committee.
With the concurrence of the committee chairman, the referral of House Bill 301 to the Judiciary Committee will be waived. If there's no objection, we'll revert to reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 90, making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, Division of Local Government Assistance, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Montgomery, Haugen, Rogers, Smith, and McKinnon. Having no recommendation, Guy and Moss. House Bill 90 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 241 relating to state bonding under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 241 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Montgomery, Haugen, Guy, Moss, and Rogers. Signing no recommendation, Meekins and Smith. House Bill 241 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
If there's no objection, we'll revert back to unfinished business. Are there any items of unfinished business to come before the House? Brings us to special orders. Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like permission to speak on labor relations.
Representative Chatterton.
Mr. Speaker, we have just gone through a little bit of a bill under reconsideration that deals with labor relations. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to call your attention to the fact that Chapter 113 of the Session Laws of 1972 passed what became Title 23, Chapter 40, the Public Employees Relations Act. I'm not here to discuss the merits or the demerits of that act, but Mr. Speaker, that act and the related statutes going to it, in effect, the legislature delegated to the administration, the executive branch, the right to negotiate labor contracts. Also, it gave the rights of state employees, as well as municipal employees, the right to organize and bargain in good faith. Now, my 40 years of experience in labor relations has always been in the private sector, and I cannot help but bring a little bit of that knowledge into the public sector. I'm not fully aware, but I think that the basic rules and regulations that the National Labor Relations Board requires should probably be very applicable and fair for public employees. The one thing that the private sector has to do when they're at the bargaining table Why, the people that are bargaining for management, in this case, the executive branch, bargaining for the legislature, why, what they say and what they do there, they are bound to that. It becomes a contractual obligation upon the corporation to live up to that, regardless of whether the board members of that corporation agree or not, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, all I can say is that having delegated the negotiating process to the executive branch of this government, why, with its state employees, it's almost incumbent upon us to support what they have said and done at the bargaining table. And Mr. Speaker, if we don't do that, I am very fearful that we shall see legislation which I would violently oppose that would lead to binding arbitration, which then definitely would tie the hands of this legislature as far as approving funds that are negotiated at the bargaining table. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are there other special orders to come before the House? Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to comment on the same subject?
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I agree with basically what Mr. Chatterton said, but I do think there's one distinction that the body ought to keep in mind. If the president of a corporation negotiates a contract which is, in the view of the directors, pretty bad, they can fire him.
Representative Chatterton.
In the absence of Mr. Of one of my colleagues from District 8, why, I would say that also there is a recall process in this state.
Representative Montgomery.
Mr. Speaker, on the same topic, I agree with both of my friends to the left also, but I think there is one thing that this legislative body does have, and that's fiscal responsibility. And my opposition to this proceeding bill was based upon that one thing. I think that the contract was signed, the law is there, and we have to subscribe to it. But there's nothing that says that we must maintain 870 employees. If we don't have the responsibility of determining the amount of money to be spent, then we're wasting a tremendous amount of time, I think, in our finance committees. So my point on the entire matter was to honor the agreement, pay what was agreed to, but to, since the money was not budgeted, live within your budget. Thank you.
Are there further special orders? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Brown.
Speaker, the House Commerce Committee will meet at 1 o'clock this afternoon to consider five bills: House Bill 73, limiting administrative regulations; House Bill 224, on the Special Utility Consumer Council; House Bill 46, on advertising by businesses and professions; House Bill 311, on transfer of public utility certificates; and House Bill 317, review program activities under AS 4466, which is the sunset law. Mr. Speaker, I know some of the members have conflicts with a couple of other meetings, but if they could at least look at those bills, and I might be on the phone wheedling you to try to get you over to our meeting for a moment, depending on how things go. Thank you.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Judiciary Committee will meet at 1:30 this afternoon. We have House Bill 163, Beverage Dispensary and Retail Liquor Licenses; House Bill 6, Schedule for Organization and Operation Legislature, which is carried over from yesterday; and then we will go into markup on House Bill 2, Rights of the Mentally Ill. Mr. Speaker, I might at this time give the committee a little advance notice that Monday night there is going to be a meeting at 7 o'clock, probably lasts about an hour.
Representative Hurlburt.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Under introduction of guests, Representative Hurlburt.
Mr. Speaker, it's my pleasure to introduce a friend of mine from a constituent from my district. He's a superintendent of the Cuspuck Schools, Mr. Bob McHenry.
Representative Carney.
Yes, I'd like to introduce a couple of friends of mine in Gallery B.
Donna Meyer and Lisa Mazin. And in Gallery A, Betty Fallon and my wife Barbara.
Are there any other guests for introduction? Under committee announcements again, Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will meet at 1 o'clock this afternoon in room 118. We'll be taking up House Bill 123, Assessment of Oil Exploration Property, House Joint Resolution 15, Remote Sense Mapping of Alaska. And we won't be hearing the Susitna bills. As I indicated yesterday, we've been requested by the Alaska Power Authority to hold off. They're working on some problems that may have arisen. Instead, we'll take up House Joint Resolution 24, resolution relating to hydro studies in rural Alaska, and last but not least, House Bill 193 relating to regionalization of fish and game boards.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, State Affairs will meet, let's see, it's 10:04 right now, we'll probably meet about 10:15 in room 123. We'll have before us the legislation that was left over from yesterday's schedule. That's HB 254, National Guard Retirement, 273, Competitive Bidding Under Fiscal Procedures Act, 276, Special Appropriation to the DOT for Alaska Peninsula and Aleutian Facilities. Mr. Speaker, I think this is a typo. For some reason or other, there's two Senate bills listed on the State Affairs section of the calendar that those bills aren't even in my committee, so I don't know what they're doing there. But I just point that out if anybody's interested in them. We won't be holding hearings on them. In addition to the bills I mentioned, though, Mr. Speaker, we will be taking up one other bill, House Bill 373, I believe that's the number, which allows the opt-out from the Social Security by members of the PERS in the state of Alaska. Mr. Speaker, this bill was just introduced this morning, so this is not giving very much notice, but for procedural reasons, we need to move this bill up to rules. I'm going to check with the rules chairman, and so whatever we do today will not be the last word on that subject. It's not my intent to rush a bill through without public notice. Some people from out of town, for instance, may want to give some testimony on that bill, as they have every right to do. But for procedural reasons, we need to move on it today. So I'm going to ask the rules chairman if he will allow an opportunity a little bit later on for some public comment on that. So we will be dealing with the measure, though, in state affairs today.
Representative Parker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. After state affairs today, in the same room, the subcommittee will meet with the staff of the Public Offices Commission to talk about the Lobbying Act. And Monday morning at 8:30 in the Bradley Room, the CRA committee will meet to take up House Bill 172, the authority of the Department of Environmental Conservation, 184, Borough Planning and Zoning, and 342, the approval and recording of subdivisions.
Representative Montgomery.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Under introduction of guests, Representative Montgomery.
In Gallery B, it's my pleasure to introduce a constituent of District 12 of Representative Hayes and mine from Anchorage, Mrs. Grace Dent.
Are there other committee announcements? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, if there are no further announcements, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment till 10 a.m. Monday morning.
There's no objection. The House is adjourned till 10 a.m. Monday morning.